Drew Estate makes some fine cigars, and they have for a while. And when they came on the scene quite a few years ago, I mean, the explosion and the things that have come out of Drew Estate, like Steve Sokka, Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, and what he's doing now is just, well, magnificent. But sometimes you go back to the well. Sometimes you go back to the things that you know. For me, the Feral Flying Pig. Oh, my gosh. I could smoke that cigar anytime. But today, in that Corona Viva shape, we're talking about the number 9. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. I should really just say the Corona, because this, the number 9, is a 6x46, which means it's 6 inches long.
Tee.
Always makes Fingers Malloy laugh. And the ring gauge is a 46. That's the diameter of the cigar, or how thick it is around. Again, with the laughter. A 64 ring gauge would be a full 1 inch around. You've seen it at your tobacconist. You've seen all different kinds. The Undercrown from Drew Estate. A lot of different moves, a lot of different styles of cigar. What I've always found about the 9 and the T52, that those were how I got introduced to Drew Estate. These are bigger smokes. And for this Connecticut Broadleaf in the wrapper and the Modafina, the Brazilian in the binder, Honduran and Nicaraguan in the filler, always plays more towards that full range. But I love this shape, the 6x46. You might think it a little bit dainty in the hand. I'm telling you, this is a great, great ratio in terms of the size of the smoke.
Yeah, it is. It's got a little bit more heft to it than you would get in a Lancero. First of all, you know, we just lit this, and for me, there's a nice bit of pepper that stays on the palate. Some wood. And it's just a beautiful looking cigar. Nice. The wrapper is a dark chocolate, and I like the band. It looks like it's actually handwritten, you know, the Liga Privada name. It's a very interesting stick to look at.
First, I wouldn't call this wrapper dark chocolate. I would call this chocolate with a little bit of mottled black in it. Secondly, this wrapper is ugly, right? You can see the leaf. You can feel the bumps. There's oil going on. There's a touch of grit. God, that's sexy as hell. Ugly is sexy in my view, and that is just wonderful.
One person's ugly is another person's character.
That this wrapper has character, Fingers Malloy. Ugly character. It's so, so good. Grab your notebooks, guys. What did you eat today? What did you drink today? What is the weather like? Chilly, as we're recording in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Blend Bar Cigar, blendbarcigar.com. These things will all have an effect on saliva, which will therefore have an effect on flavor. But you want to grab your notebook. What did you eat today? What did you drink today? And then you want to start taking a look at the cigar, break it into thirds, the first third, the second third, the final third. You're writing down the experience you're getting. What are the flavors that you're getting when you try the cigar a month from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now? You do it again. You go back and you check your notes. Find your through lines. What is it that connected with you? That's what you really got out of the cigar. It's a beautiful draw in this straight cut that we did here. Again, as we do it, a shallow cut. So as that wrapper on the cap, right? Cut from the cap, you light from the foot. As that wrapper is just starting to curve up on the cap, that's where we cut. I call that a shallow cut. Now, maybe other people don't, but you know what? It's your cigar. Call it anything you like. I'm not here to judge, and there will be no fines given.
I call it a Shally C.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, that's what I call it.
Is that also your rap name?
That's so true.
The Drew Estate line, I think, does wonderful work. And it's interesting that you're getting pepper right off of this, because I get a more earthy cocoa kind of thing going on. A little bit of vibration on the lip is what I'm getting from it. Some people might call that spice, but it is just such a nice feeling on the palate. Remember, you're not inhaling. You're toasting the palate. You might get it into the cheeks. You might bring it out the sinuses, do the retrohale, things like that. Because there's so many more nerve endings in the nose, you get much different flavors. You get a real experience if you're able to do it that way. It's just It's super enjoyable, super pleasant. It calls for a bourbon. It calls for a coffee. It could call for a wine. Like, I could do a very, very nice Cabernet with this and feel good about it. And it's not that I'm getting like dark fruit and I'm not getting orchard like plum or anything like that. It's just, I could feel that pairing coming on. Yeah. I could get away with that.
See, for me, it's coffee all day long with the stick. And I'm kind of amazed at, and I don't know why I feel this way, but you know, with the smaller ring gauge, I wasn't expecting as much smoke to be coming off of this stick as it does. And the draw is so incredibly easy, which makes that experience even better. How do you feel about the draw?
Perfect. Everything about it is working sensationally. You might think that at a 46 ring gauge, it's smaller. It might be a little more intense. It might be too easy. No. It's working right. It's working solid. The number 9, Liga Bravada from Drew Estate. The cigar's been around, man. People know the name and people know the cigar. As with always with Drew Estate, the idea that this is give or take $15.50 a stick. $15 a stick. Is this in your humidor? It's always been the point with Drew Estate, with the Liga Bravada line, right? The Undercrown line is less expensive. You can get to some of the other things that they do over there at Drew Estate. A series of smokes. For people who are just introduced to cigars, they might know the Acid line. There's 20-acre farm that they do. The Nico Rustica, the Herrera Estelis, right? They do a lot of cigars, a great number of things. But I think this is, like, to me, this is their line. This is where I gravitate to. But it's a tough price point at times. That's always been the issue. And I don't know the guys over there, but it seems that after all these years, their answer is, yeah, we're cool with it. This is what we do. This is what we make. We believe it's worth it. And the people who love our stuff, because they certainly have built a glorious following, they think it's worth it too. So smoke away or don't. That's totally up to you.
Yeah, $15 at that price point, it does make it difficult. But then again, as we've discussed on several occasions, I believe people have to kind of readjust their thinking when it comes to what they can get for a stick at a certain price because of these inflationary times we're living in. I don't have a problem spending $15 on this cigar. I mean, I've had it before. You've had it before, you know, but I could certainly understand why someone would say this isn't an everyday smoke for them at that price point.
I have never had a problem spending $15 on a stick.
I know.
Never once, never ever. And this is actually, I mean, these are from my humidor, right? So there are a series of Liga Bravadas that I do keep. The 9 is one of them. The Flying Pig, when I can find it, is one of them. Some of them aren't for me. But this, in that Corona, the 6x46 from Drew Estate, the Liga Bravada number 9. It's a full-bodied, worthwhile smoke, especially with this smaller ring gauge. You get that better ratio of wrapper to binder and filler, and I think it makes a massive difference. Eat, drink, smoke. It is your cigar bourbon foodie extravaganza. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy from Drew Estate, the Liga Bravada number 9. It's the 6x46, and it is just a wonderful ring gauge to have this cigar in. Because when the ring gauge is smaller, 46 being the ring gauge, so a 64 would be a full 1 inch around. We usually play in that 50-52 range, but a 46 means that you have more wrapper in ratio to the binder and filler. Wrapper is flavor. So you get a much different experience from the cigar than you do in the larger format cigars. Now, don't get me wrong, the 52s, 54s are popular. My God, people love the 64s. They love the 60s. To me, that's not a good mouthfeel. It's just not as enjoyable to smoke.
It almost feels like work. Right. I mean, I keep bringing it up, but who makes the Texas Lancero? Do you remember?
Oh, that's Alec Bradley.
Alec Bradley. The ring gauge is isn't it 70?
It's something. It's a 9,000.
It's like a muffler.
Yeah, I don't know how people do it. But then again, if I'm like Shaquille O'Neal and I'm 7'1", Maybe that feels like a Lancero to me. I don't know.
But this is, I think, a wonderful format, and the cigar has been smoking beautifully. A little bit of that pepper has opened up for me, but there's just a bit of a cocoa sweetness that's really, really working. A lovely bit of earthiness that is making the cigar work. I've always been happy. I'm super happy.
I know I'm going to get slaughtered by saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Marzipan?
No.
Nougat?
You're getting warmer.
Anchovy?
It's like you're reading my mind.
That's what I do.
Everything you just said, plus a little bit of a creamy sweetness for me. And then I got to tell you, when I set the stick down on the palate, there's a little bit of licorice that comes into play for me.
What?
I know. And it maybe has something to do with what I ate today. I ate 4 pounds of licorice. No, I didn't. But still.
I didn't doubt. I thought that was very possible for you.
Only if it were deep fried.
The licorice is such an intense and specific flavor.
It's very subtle.
That's weird. That's weird. I'm starting to think you need to see a doctor.
You, me, and my doctor.
It's time, Fingers Malloy, for news of the week.
Here's the deal, Tony.
Oh, good God. Don't be miserable.
As you know, I have been called America's happy hour anchorman.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Good News, people call me in newsrooms around the country because I'm like the Johnny Appleseed of good news, spreading good news all over the country.
Right.
I'm getting a little tired of being the news guy here on the show because it's all bad. I this is what I did today. I'm searching for stories, and I literally went to Ask Jeeves. And I typed in the search engine, give me some good news. Good news. My computer laughed at me. Just like that. Just like that. So I'm going to break one of my rules when it comes to delivering the news to the folks. There are two things that bothers me about corporate media today. One.
Right.
They come up with stories based on social media outrage.
Right.
They just go to TikTok. They see something that goes viral and they claim it's news. And there's outrage on TikTok today because so-and-so said something and people were upset and they went to Reddit to comment on it. That's one thing. The other thing that they used to do was run an opinion poll and then report news based on the poll results and claim that that's news.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do right now.
Thank goodness.
Tony, did you know that more and more Americans are turning to LinkedIn to land dates?
What?
LinkedIn is turning into a dating site. These new findings from datingnews.com, which, by the way, is where I go for all of my dating news. New findings from datingnews.com showed that LinkedIn has had an unexpected role in modern dating. It turns out that 61% of respondents aged 35 to 40 have landed dates on the networking app.
Okay, I can explain what's happening here.
Please do.
They didn't land dates. That's not what happened. 35 to 40, you say?
Yes.
On a platform that is built for business relationships. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened. These people have been working and networking and networking and working, and they've been building their careers and changing careers and moving jobs and building relationships. And then they turned around and realized, oh my gosh, I'm 35 to 40 and I have never fallen in love and I'd like to have children. And then they put out there like it's a business plan. Hey, anybody want to make a baby? Sure, I make a living, you make a living. It'll be easy. We'll call the kid Frank and everything will be perfect. I've already found 4 private schools that will take little Frank for right up to college.
Frank?
Frank.
Fair enough.
Wait, depending on where they are, Francisco.
Okay.
And that's what they're doing. These people are saying, look, I don't want my life to totally pass me by. So if you also wouldn't mind somebody to share a mortgage with, Call me.
This is straight out of News Radio. There's a scene where the guy that runs the station is in a negotiation with a businesswoman over getting married, and they end up not sealing the deal because they couldn't agree on where their summer home was going to be.
Stephen Root. News Radio, by the way, is a show that you would have had to ask Jeeves in order to figure out when it was on. How old? You just dated yourself in a way that is irrational.
It is totally available right now on Amazon Prime Video, I'm sure. I'm sure it's on Netflix, too.
It's on Nick at Night or TV Land, just so we're all perfectly clear.
I think you're right, though. I think that there is some dating app fatigue out there. And as you know, Tony, first of all, this warms my heart because
you love love.
I do love love. And I do love the idea that people are falling in love. I've always told you, Tony, that my motto in life is live, laugh, love.
That's what you've always said.
That's what I've always said. You know where I read that? On LinkedIn. So now what we're finding is people are turning to LinkedIn. And here's what's really weird. It's happening a lot, specifically in San Antonio. 71% of respondents in San Antonio said that they've gone to LinkedIn and attempted to find love. And it all makes sense. I think that what's interesting about this is our guys being weasels about this and saying, I saw that you are in the market to become the new marketing head of a marketing company. I also am in that field. How about if we get together and just network and talk business? When really this person just looked at the LinkedIn profile and said, hubba hubba, I'd like to go out with this young lady.
I just want to make sure that what they said was, and I'm quoting here, hubba hubba.
Hubba hubba. That's what the kids say when they run into someone that they like.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On LinkedIn.
Right. Let's go back to TV Land.
Wow.
Hubba hubba.
But seriously, don't you think that the guys are weaseling in on LinkedIn to try to get dates? Is that
who
what this
is initiating? Is it the guys or is it the lady folk?
Well, there's really not any answer on this particular piece as far as who is initiating. But
that's my question. I want to know. Who was initiating this out?
You know, that's a fair question. I will go back and visit datingnews.com to find out more.
Right. Because that is where you go for all your dating news.
Yes. If you are looking for breaking news in the dating field, you go straight to datingnews.com.
Is that right?
Don't you feel like we've all learned something today from
News
of the
Week? I've never online dated. I have no idea how any of this works. I have never once done online dating ever.
I thought it was all Craigslist.
Wow. We really did go back in time. Anybody who's listened to this show for more than 5 minutes knows there's nothing Fingers Malloy finds more relaxing than a cruise.
The SS Salmonella.
The idea of being out at sea. Surrounded by nothing but water and more water, with 1,000 of his closest friends, all of whom drinking too much and not realizing there's a shower in their stateroom.
Reeking a fireball.
Tea, drink, smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That right there is Fingers Malloy. Speaking of fireball, I'm minding my own business, Fingers Malloy. I am at what they call the food store. You know, there are stores that sell food.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a photo. Fingers, would you read that to me right there? Would you read that? I took a picture, Fingers Malloy. Would you read that right there, Fingers Malloy? Tell me what that is. Tell me what that
Weber
says.
Weber Grills new Fireball Sweet Cinnamon Heat Rub.
Fingers Malloy, how have you not tried this yet? Do you like things that are sweet?
Yes.
Do you like things that are cinnamon?
Yes.
Do you like things that have heat?
Yes.
Fireball's got it all in one and a nice rub for your meat.
Here's the deal.
Fireball.
Here's the deal. I don't mind.
It's what your meat craves.
I don't mind that. That's okay.
This is okay?
Yes.
from Weber.
This is okay. That is okay. Everything is okay.
Fireball.
Yes, that's fine because it's food related.
Your meat will feel the heat before you put it on the heat to heat your meat.
Why are you sounding like Otto the bus driver?
Is that what I'm sounding like? The Simpsons. I'm trying to sound like the movie guy. In a world.
Oh.
Oh, I sound like Otto. Whoa.
My name is Otto and I'm going to go Blotto.
Everything comes back to The Simpsons, bro. You're really okay with that. You
I'm okay
that.
With that. I just don't want... The only flavored whiskey I enjoy is whiskey-flavored whiskey.
This is a whiskey-flavored seasoning that has sweet cinnamon heat.
Fireball. It's... I'ma get in a fight in a bottle is what that is. When does a shot of Fireball at midnight lead to anything good?
That's what the cruises are for. And you can be on an adults-only cruise, Virgin Voyages, which you won't be after you're done.
There it is.
They are offering the Scarlet Summer Season Pass. So let's say you're a remote worker. They're really targeting you, and they're saying, why work from home when you can work from home? No longer does working from home mean being tied to a desk or home office and eating leftovers for lunch. Virgin Voyages can now offer our sailors the chance to see the world while working from a daybed at the dock and sampling Mediterranean mezza, then hopping off the ship in between calls to make the most of our incredible ports of call. Well, are you in or you out?
Never more than now. Have I felt like everyone should have to return to the office.
But now the office is shared with 1,000 of your closest friends who forgot to bring clean underwear.
I got to tell you, while to be fair, I've never been on a cruise. I've only seen footage. I've never seen footage of a cruise where I thought to myself, man, I can get some real work done there. Has that happened to you? Man, I would really love this to be my office every day.
I know people who go. I know people who love it. I think I should try it. I really do think I should try the thing, but no.
And listen, you and I, we have talked up the Premium Cigar Association trade show every year. It's in Las Vegas.
And which is why, only reason you go. It's the only reason Fingers goes. It's because we go a day early. Fingers start. We get in the evening, and then we have a lovely meal, and then let's say it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And Fingers like, okay, see you in a day, and then he finds himself a video poker machine. He sits down, and then he forgets that there's a world.
It's true.
Nuclear attack. Fingers will still be hitting.
So I
wait. You know, it's video poker. You don't hit. Wait, do you hit? You just get more cards.
You draw.
You draw.
And
you don't
then
hit.
You toss those away, and then you get a redraw.
And this is me playing video poker sitting next to him. Hey, what should I do?
I'm like, Tony, for the 15th time, you hold the jacks.
Oh, is that what I do? I hold it. But this has four of them. I don't need that many. I don't need that. What I do?
I was so happy last year he actually got four of a kind for the first time. Didn't you get a four
I
of a
did.
Kind? And we all rejoiced. But I understand that anyone who goes on three or four cruises a year listens to me talk about Vegas and wants to probably mock me as much as I'm saying that I want nothing to do with cruise ships. I get
that. Oh, I think you find more people who are more okay with Vegas than with a cruise. What if there is a casino on the cruise?
They usually do have a casino on the cruise.
And this does not entice?
You know what's great? They have casinos now on land.
What?
Yeah. It's quite a world we live in 2024.
Is there nothing that can move you to doing a cruise?
Nothing. Absolutely
really?
Nothing. When we go to Vegas, One of the things I like to do is get away from everyone, find my little area where I'm playing video poker with my cigar. And even though there are hundreds of thousands of people around me, I've got my little Xanadu right there.
Do you have a real issue with people? In all seriousness, do you like, is it an anxiety thing with you, or is it just, because I will share a story. After all of these years, I have finally learned that I'm actually an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's the career. I don't know what it is. I love what I do. I love the sharing. I love the communication. But I can't do the small talk, and it has become physically tougher to do. And I'm not saying it's healthy. Like, I'm aware of it and wondering what it means.
Yeah.
But the introverts, it's not that they're quiet people per se, it's that being around a lot of people and having to interact takes a lot out of them. I am that guy.
Yes,
I am.
You are.
Absolutely.
How long
have you known this about me? Why didn't you tell me?
I can tell the look on your face when you're thinking to yourself, I've had enough of this. We run in similar circles when we do conferences away from the cigar world, and we've got similar groups of friends, and I enjoy that. I enjoy that a lot, but I am an introvert. I like to stay up late in Vegas. I want to be around a few friends, and that's it, because at 1:30 in the morning, there are a lot of bad things that can happen in Las Vegas, even in casinos, that I don't want to be around. I don't want to be around, the bars after a UFC fight lets out, and, a bar may be having their fireball three shots for $5 special after the UFC fight. You know what? Rather be in a corner all over there by myself or with a couple of friends away from all the action. And that's what I want. So if that makes me an introvert, then I guess I'm an introvert.
So you're going to sit there, find your spot to do video poker and smoke a cigar.
Yes. And we know where we will be.
Yes, I'm fully aware.
It's quiet.
Right?
There's nobody around.
Well, there was last time. Who knows? It might be the hot spot now.
Could be.
You might have 400 people. And you might have a new bride named Edna, who's getting married in 3 days, just drunk off her butt at 264 pounds, who really is thinking you might be the last fling before forever.
There isn't enough fireball in Vegas for that to happen.
I actually believe there is.
You just give me a, I beg to differ.
I really do. I really do beg to differ. Smoking from Drew Estate, the Liga Privada number 9. We're halfway through this thing. I'm smoking quick. I'm smoking quicker than you, Fingers Malloy. Oh, let's get a drink. Let's pair this thing up. This is Eat, Drink, Smoke. 15 stars. Why 15 stars? Because Kentucky was the 15th state. That's why 15 stars. That's why they named it 15 stars. And we could swear here at Eat, Drink, Smoke, we've tried this before, at least one of their products. And oh, do they have a whole bunch of products? We couldn't remember. So we said, well, might as well do it again. In case we did it the first time or in case we didn't. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. And that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. This right here, the Triple Cask, because they have a whole bunch of versions, is the 15 stars Triple Cask Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, finished in cognac, port, and rum casks. Fingers Malloy, this is batch number 1, coming in at 52.5% alcohol by volume, or 105 proof. Always applause for anything over 100 proof. 15 stars. It was for Kentucky being the 15th state. Like 1792, bourbon is the year Kentucky became a state.
You know what I like about this show, Tony?
What is that?
We smoke cigars.
Right.
We drink bourbon.
Right.
And we learn together.
We're going to give this a go right here. We've got this in the Glencairn glass. That's that oddly shaped glass. It's got the foot and then it bows out, comes back in. Really get your nose in it. Get an idea for the flavors of it. Be able to really take a look at it. If you don't have a Glencairn glass, hard to say. Yeah. It's all right. You can use a rocks glass.
Well, it's such a popular glass, they made a movie about it. The Glencairn Glen Ross glass.
So what this allows you to do, I just totally avoided that, is just really get in there, really concentrate the nose, especially with the rocks glass. It's a wider mouth, and it's going to kind of escape, but this allows you to get in. That is kind of pale.
Yeah.
Right there, right? A little hint of orange, amber kind of thing going on right there.
I feel like we're at a Lowe's paint section right now.
Well, that's not how you want to feel. Right there. Also, no viscosity whatsoever. It is not sticking to the glass in the slightest. It looks a little thin in the glass, but the nose fingers, Malloy, coming in at 105 proof.
Ooh.
Oh, that is stupid sweet and fruity.
First of all, there's no ethanol alcohol on the nose at all for being over 100 proof.
Right.
Tony's really going in, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God. That is that is fruity. That is that is almost like a pie.
Yeah.
That is like on the windowsill cooling down pie.
Okay. You have been bagging on me this entire episode, how I'm making references from 40, 50 years ago. And now you've got housewives putting their pie on the windowsill to cool.
First of all, I didn't say housewife. You did, sexist. Just so we're all perfectly clear. But that's it, right?
Yes. And there's also,
I don't know what that fruit is though.
But there's also a little bit of a rye spice there too.
There's a depth. I don't know if that is oak or I don't know if that's oak or if that's leather. I don't know which one I'm getting there.
Okay, would you say that's a baking spice? There's a spice there.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It is super easy. You're right. At 105, maybe I was expecting a little more depth going on. That's a nice nose, man. That is pleasant. Put a little dab behind the ear.
Yeah, and a little hint between the cheek and gum.
Wow.
What we're going to do right now. The other thing, too, is you really have to get your nose in there. It's not an overpowering aroma coming out of the glass.
No, it isn't. This is the 15 stars, the triple cask. So it's finished in cognac, port, and rum cask, which would explain a fair amount of the sweetness and the kind of sugary that you're getting. But forget talk fingers, Malloy. Are you ready for this?
Tony, I've been ready for this all...
Oh, he's already in. He didn't even waste time. He's doing what's known as the Kentucky Chew. You want to move that around the palate, really get a feel for the flavors. Sometimes it's two sips. The first one to set the taste buds. The second sip to really get an idea of the flavors, Fingers Malloy. Now, this is, by the way, released of July of 23, so this is still fairly new out there.
Yeah, that spice is there. And also, right away, you get hit with orange.
Orange.
Yes, orange. Definitely.
Which is not
there.
What the nose is saying at all.
No, it's not. And that dark fruit is there as well. I'm not getting a lot, really. There's not a lot of oak at all. I wouldn't even say there is any oak in it. To me, it's dark fruit, it's orange, and there is a spiciness. By the way, doesn't play at 100, over 100 proof at all. I mean... there's a little bit of sting on the tongue, no warmth in the chest at all. I'm actually very surprised that this is over 100 proof.
Now, we should note that this is a blend of Kentucky straight bourbons that have been finished in these casks, aged either 16 or 8 years. So there is some serious, serious time that has been spent here. I'm going in, Fingers Malloy.
Okay.
The triple cask, 15 stars, 15 stars. I'm going in.
He's going in, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing what we like to call the Saginaw Swish, the Memphis Munch, the Louisville Lip.
Oh, damn. Okay. That is fruity in this cherry... there's a slightest touch of heat on the tongue. There is absolutely nothing. There's the orange. A little bit that started as the finish is coming, a touch of heat on the tongue, but nothing center chest, nothing throat, a little bit of spice. Oh, that is creamy.
Mm-hmm.
That honestly, that might be too sweet for some people. Like, I could see some people saying, no, that's not bourbon. That does not have enough oak.
Yeah, there's no oak. I'm not getting any oak.
There's no caramel. That's very good. But for somebody who is into bourbon, that ain't bourbon.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's bourbon, but it plays much differently. That is a touch bitter now on the finish. That is a nice piece, kid.
And the spice, that tingling on the tongue stays with you for a while.
Yeah. Well, wait, you took the first sip, so you're still getting it.
Yeah, I still am. And what? I took my sip 2 minutes ago, 2.5 minutes ago. That's nice. And listen, if you take yourself away from this feeling of that I need to have a traditional sipping bourbon, and you're just saying to yourself, I want something that tastes good, and if you've got a little bit of a sweet tooth, this is wonderful.
15 stars, 15stars.com, the triple cast, coming in at 105 proof, doesn't play that way in the slightest. Fingers Malloy, is this in your liquor cabinet at $179 a bottle?
No. But I will say this. I see this at my favorite lounge. I'm getting a pour, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I get why you have to try it. But for the bourbon lover, it's not bourbon. For the person who likes an interesting drink, absolutely. That's a crazy amount of fruit, man. I am not interested in the rules about self-checkout. If a store wants rules about how I check out, put a person there and deal with me and say please and thank you and appreciate me. If you want me to deal with your robot, you don't get to put rules on how I deal with the robot. I'm talking to you, Target. Tea, drink, smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is Fingers Malloy.
So what you're saying is, in Tony Katz's world, the first rule of self-checkout is there are no rules.
I'll fight club the thing. I'll do it. I'm more than happy to. Right? Just call me Robert Paulson.
What's fight
I'm
club?
Totally down. See? First rule. We don't talk about Target. They have announced over there at Target that they will switch regular self-checkout to express self-checkout. And that means it's for customers with 10 items or fewer. And anybody who's ever been to Target knows that's impossible.
Especially couples that go into Target.
I have always believed that if Target stores on Friday and Saturday night had a wine bar, it would be the most popular place for new families in all of America.
Have you been to grocery stores that have something like that?
Well, yes, of course I have. Have you?
Yes.
Really?
So
shocking.
Well, it wasn't necessarily my first choice, but
did you get lost?
No, but what I did enjoy about it, so I went to one of these conferences that we would attend in Washington, D.C., and I was in Old Town Alexandria, and I had to go to a grocery store to pick up a few things because I had a room with a kitchen, and the grocery store had wine and craft beer that you could order, pay for, and then walk around and shop with your craft beer. They had to kick me out. Have you ever heard last call at a grocery store before? Because I have.
They are upset with something called partial shrink. This, according to a senior business reporter, a senior reporter at Business Insider, which is when a shopper perhaps either accidentally or intentionally doesn't scan all the items in their order. So some of the stuff goes out the door without having been paid for. Then get a person. Because now you're saying there's no need for self-checkout. No, that's only for the person who needed a baseball mitt and a new pair of underwear.
Oh, what? You know, I understand these corporations. They're saying to themselves, what kind of America are we in? We used to think we could save money by cutting back on employees, and now we're finding out it's costing us more because there are a lot of thieves in America.
It is remarkably frustrating. I'm trying to think if I ever have forgotten to, you know, pay for something in my cart, because we do self-checkout. My wife does self-checkout. Like, I will shop with her. The kids are doing something, I'll shop with her. And then we get to the checkout, and I'm like, all right, I'll catch you in a bit. I don't stick around for it at all. Because invariably, with self-checkout, there is someone there who monitors all the self-checkout stands. There's a coupon, something goes wrong. And that person is convinced that their job is to entertain the captive audience that just wants to go home already. And they have, I want to be clear about this. They have a job. I respect the job. I respect the work. They have zero personality. They're proud of it. And then they want to share every part of their life. I will not do this. I can't. I don't have the capability. I will walk and take a look at all of the lottery ticket scratch-offs that I will never buy.
Just browsing today.
Right. That's all I'm doing. I'm looking at the machine, praying to God. No one says to me, warm enough for you? Just, that's all I'm trying to get done.
It's the worst. And here's the deal, and I totally agree with your assessment. The other thing I don't like, there was a time they had self-checkout lines at the grocery store chain that I frequent here in central Indiana. That was the full lane where you had the scanner, and then it had the belt that would take it down to the bagging area. I loved that.
Right.
Oh, I was fine with that. And then all of a sudden they said to themselves, man, we could get a lot more checkout lanes if we just got rid of those lanes and gave you a postage stamp size stand for you to bag 60 grocery items.
And that, Lord forbid you don't bag it properly, because that machine's going to tell you, put your item in the blanket bag.
I never thought I'd see the word tilt on a machine since I stopped going to the arcade, but that's what happens. And that's frustrating, because then you've got this poor teenager that has to come over six times and be like, it's not you, it's the machine. But they're thinking the whole time, it's you, it's not the machine. It's a terrible customer experience. And I do everything I can to avoid it. I will always deal with the person at the checkout asking me if it's hot enough for me outside. Or what's even worse is when, you know, first of all, they ask you, how are you doing? And, you know, they really don't care. And that's fine. I don't care if they really care how I'm doing or not. And then you have to, you know, ask that same question back, and you'll hear something like, oh, I'll be a lot better in an hour and a half.
Is that because that's when their shift's over?
Yes.
Oh, that's why they're going to be better.
Yeah.
Oh, I finally got it. Not until you said it.
See, I make the complex simple.
Right. Thank goodness. Thank goodness you're here. Let me switch gears just for a moment, because this story doesn't comport with another story. The people at Fox Business say that home foreclosures are going up in a big way. Rising fastest in a series of states. I should say rising in a series of states. South Carolina, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Texas, and our beloved Indiana. But Indiana was only up 0.8%. This, I tell you this story, and I also tell you that home builders are seeing a surge in interest, because we've gone from 7.25% interest rates to 6.87. There's been a little bit of a downtrend in the 30-year fixed mortgage. So people are saying, well, I guess this is the time. This also starts the season, because people start moving in the summer so they can be in their new home for the school season.
Sure.
in the fall. So these are two very interesting data points that I'm trying to figure out. Should I connect them, or do they stay separate? Because home foreclosures are about not being able to afford the mortgage anymore. Home buying is about needing a home. They're two very, very different things, yet somehow that they're both happening at the same time seems a bit awkward to me.
Well, what if it has nothing to do with the mortgage, but everything that goes into the mortgage besides the principal and interest? Because everybody's taxes, for the most part, are going way up.
Oh, home the property insurance, tax issue?
Yep. Home insurance prices are going through the roof. And now, you know, so much of that obviously is put in the payment, as you know, because it goes into escrow. If that amount doubled or tripled, maybe people are having a hard time paying their mortgage.
So you're having the argument that it isn't the mortgage per se, it's the totality. Oh, well, that's not fun to think about at all. You really do bring terrible news, Fingers Malloy.
That's what I'm here for.
That's why we love you.
If I've said it once, I've said it once. The name of this show should be called Eat, Drink, Smoke, Love.
You are. Oh, sorry.
It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Fingers Malloy along with Tony Katz.
If I've said it once, I've said it once.
Find everything we do over at our website, eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Tony, as you know, I mention it several times. I have over the course of the 4+ years we've done this show. My motto is live, laugh, love.
It really is.
And I do what I can to try to bring young lovers together. And what breaks my heart is when I see couples fight. And there's a temptation when people fight to maybe say things they shouldn't say to their significant other.
Right.
Thankfully, the folks over at hackspirit.com came up with a list, Tony. The 7 phrases.
Hack spirit. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So either they're providing life hacks to you, or they're a bunch of hacks writing pieces.
Or they're trying to destroy your spirit.
The 7 phrases you should never say to the one you love, according to psychology. Now,
I know the first one.
What's that?
Boy, did I make a mistake.
Oh, see? That's not where I thought you were going to go with. That's not where I thought you were going to go.
I know another one.
What's that?
Should have been your sister.
Oh,
that's another one.
See, the first thing that popped into my mind, hey, fatty.
Yeah, it's also terrible. That's equally as bad. But, all right, but this is a list of 7 what now?
7 phrases you should never say to the one you love. And this is according to psychology, Tony.
Is that right?
Yep, according to psychology. Psychology.
Not a study from the Fingers Malloy Institute for Institutes.
No, we have several fine psychologists on staff at the Fingers Malloy Institute for Institutes.
Just need a grant. Just need a grant. All right. So according to psychology.
Yes. Number 1 on the list of things you should not say to someone you love. This is just like you.
Well, not when you say it like that, like you're a Bond villain. What if I say it like this? This is just like you.
Oh, well, if you put it in a cutesy way like that, I'm sure it's less offensive to your significant other. Say if she were to bring you home a nice Pepperidge Farms coconut cake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just like you.
See? Exactly. That's kind of like when
Now, if it had raisins.
Raisins and coconut?
See, then you'd go with the, this is just like you.
On a side note, I always love looking at the box of that Pepperidge Farms coconut cake where it says serves 8. And I think to myself, serves 8? Served 1.
Yeah, servings are ridiculous. Servings are what people like ice cream is like sometimes a third of a cup.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with this?
Eat 7 servings?
That is correct. That is correct, Fingers Malloy. This is just like you. Again, I'm fine with it. I think this goes along with how it is said, right?
Yeah, I love how you're arguing for couples to be able to say this is just like you. You're arguing against psychology, Tony.
Well, not the first time.
Number two on the list, stop being so sensitive.
What's wrong with that?
I think that's probably right up there with you should smile more.
Well, if you have to tell your significant other you should smile more, you're with the wrong significant other. But stop being so sensitive. Sometimes the purpose of the spouse is to look at the other one and say, stop this. Stop being ridiculous. Stop being crazy. Stop being a fool.
Well,
stop being this way. Stop it.
According to psychology, Tony, it dismisses how that person feels. And really, isn't that what's important?
No. Sometimes your spouse is out of their head, and what you need to be for them is the counterweight, right? So, every now and then, I might say to my spouse, "Hey, Leslie." Leslie is not my wife's name. Leslie is the name of my mother-in-law.
We're going down this road, are we?
Because wait a second. Sometimes we all do it. We lose our heads. We get into this. It's Anchorman. I'm in a glass cage of emotion. We totally lose ourselves. And so you need that person who you love to like bring you back. Because if she were to say to me, stop being and use my father's name, I'd be like, oh, hey, now. And then she'd be like, see? And I'd be like, okay, all right. Okay. But like, I know our relationship. Yeah. So you would never say stop being so sensitive?
Well, no, because I, of course, always side with psychology.
Number three.
You're overreacting.
Sometimes you're overreacting.
Wow. But sometimes when you say things like that, Tony, according to psychology, that could really hit their self-esteem.
But sometimes they're overreacting.
Number four on the list, Tony. It's your fault.
Sometimes it is. I don't understand what's happening here.
I think you are having a public battle with psychology.
But all of these things, sometimes it is my fault. Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I have made the error. Sometimes I've either said something or done something. Yeah, I did that. Okay.
Maybe so, there's a nicer way to say it, though. Maybe you sit back and you say out loud, maybe we should re-examine who is to blame here.
And oh, let so you're them blaming out. Me. So you're blaming. Is that who you are? You're blaming. You can sleep on the couch.
Don't you think you're overreacting?
By the way, has never been said to me, and I don't buy into any of that stuff. I bought the bed. I sleep in the bed. Wow. You could do whatever you want, but this is where I sleep. I prefer it when you sleep next to me. It makes me happy. But listen, I'm not going to tell you how to live. But you see this bed? I bought this bed.
Okay. Number five on the list.
By the way, I have the most perfect marriage in the universe. My wife is glorious. True or false?
True. Which is probably why you feel comfortable saying, this is just like you, stop being so sensitive, you're overreacting, it's your fault.
She could also say that to me.
Okay, here's one. I would hope we would agree on number five. You shouldn't say to your significant other, I hate you.
No, you should not.
You can think it, but you can never say it.
Not until the divorce proceedings are finalized. Yeah, that's... Why would you? Like you're in a fight or something? See, that's not having control of your emotions. I'll give you a perfect example. That's different.
I'll give you a perfect example of when this is acceptable. Your significant other brings you home a coconut cake. She eats the whole damn thing, and you don't get a piece.
Oh, that is fine. You're right.
Thank you.
You're right. Now, are you saying this from experience?
No, because if a coconut cake is handed directly to me, serves eight, serves one.
That's a throwback. That's a callback. That was a callback, Finger.
Find the rest of this list over at eatdrinksmokeshow.com because we're here to help you in your relationships.
We are smoking from Drew Estate, the Liga Bravada, number 9, 6x46. Nice smoke.
Yeah.
Nice smoke. Got us through the show, Fingers Malloy.
Yeah.
Right there. I'm I smoked a little faster than you on this.
You
one.
Did.
That's rare.
I never would have guessed it.
I'm super pleased. It's the $15, $16 price point that I think is going to give some people a little bit of tentativeness. But the 15 stars triple cask bourbon, that's unique. That's unique. At $179 a bottle, I can't. But am I trying it? Oh, you're walking into your lounge today and you're trying it. Ask for it by name. Find everything we do at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. If you're not already getting the podcast, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, Eat, Drink, Smoke. Next time, everybody.
Follow Eat, Drink, Smoke on social media, on Twitter, at Go Eat, Drink, Smoke, on Facebook, facebook.com/eatdrinksmoke, and Instagram, at Eat, Drink, Smoke Podcast.